sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello, everybody. Good evening and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could spend some time with us here on RTR. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio studio. It's been a race-filled day. We got lots of news coming at you. We got lots of guests coming at you. And I know we're itching to get started here tonight on the show. Junior, what did you think of that weekend so far, man? We've had lots of racing.
Lots to cover off. It's cool to be back talking about results as opposed to talking about iRacing.
Oh, big time.
It's definitely exciting. Not back to normal yet by any stretch. Obviously, the world is not back to normal, but it's getting there. You know, it's getting there slowly in different various areas and territories across North America. It's putting the fire in the belly of every race fan.
Yeah, it is. And race team, right?
Yeah, exactly. If they're not racing in that local territory where they are, man, the fire is there in the belly of everybody. It's pretty interesting times right now. Just taking a look, you know, across the board, a huge race weekend at Five Flags Speedway. You know, they packed them in the grandstands, and yet there's races taking place with no fans in some territories, in some areas, across the U.S. and then as well in Canada here, they're kicking off racing with no fans at Humberstone, of course, on G-Force on Saturday, but racing with fans at Petty. In New Brunswick. So very interesting times. A little bit of, you know, there's a line that's invisible, it seems.
Yeah.
So it's definitely interesting. But talking to everybody, you know, in the local area here in Ontario, the excitement level is through the roof. People want to get back to the racetrack. They want to be ripping around that racetrack, and they want to get out to the track and see race cars again.
Well, so, same thing. Exciting. Just got a text before we come on, a couple of them, actually. One was a fan that comes to Sauble Speedway all the time. We had tonight on the race schedule. We were supposed to be racing tonight, and I had to answer him. He said, is there any racing at Sauble tonight? I had to answer him back with no. We're still shut down due to COVID-19.
Yeah.
And it's confusing. I know I just got another one. Terry Watt, Can-Am Midgets.
Yeah.
Hey, what do we do on August 1st? Do we got any answer yet? I answered him back. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I haven't got a clue.
Exactly.
If there was a will or a way, we'd be doing it. But I'll tell you, it is good news to see that PEI, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Newfoundland, the Maritime provinces are all going to go under a bubble on July the 3rd. They're going to be allowed to open back up. Petty International Raceway did go green last night, and we're going to catch up tonight with two of the winners from that very racetrack. We've got Brady Kramer's going to come up first. He won the sportsman race, and then we're going to catch up with Riley Goodwin that won the street stock race. So those two guys are on the show tonight. We're also going to talk to Rick Verburn, driver of the 21 Superstock. He's getting ready to go for a big race at Flamborough Speedway that is coming up. And we're also going to catch up with Chris LeBaron on the show tonight. He's got race parts. He's done a lot of stuff. There was a big raffle just last night for Jason Parker. A lot of Ontario guys, APC competitor, a lot of fans from across Canada will recognize the name Jason Parker. Jason has fallen sick, and consequently, he is getting rid of all of his stuff. And he thought, what a way to do this. I want to donate some money to cancer. They put together a raffle with all the different aspects of the number eight team, and they broke it all up and put different winners to it. What a way to do it. They raised a lot of money, and there is a lot of happy people. We are definitely thinking about Jason Parker.
Yep.
And thinking about his situation, and thoughts and prayers are going out to him and his family. I know what it's like to go through cancer, and it's not fun. Yeah, there is so much indecision. You haven't got, unless you've had cancer, it's pretty hard to describe.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you, standing where I am now on the other side of it, and them telling me my tumor is gone, feels fantastic. Doesn't mean my cancer is gone. They can't say that I'm cancer-free, which drives me up the wall. But the tumor's not there, and that's the key to it. So same thing with Jason Parker. He's fallen sick, and it really sucks that he had to step back out of the sport. But he is one tough customer, and God willing, he'll be able to step back into the sport in the years to come.
Absolutely.
And that would be cool. But Chris was very instrumental in putting together everything. And he's got a couple of different businesses. So Chris LeBaron, we're going to hear from him tonight on the show. We've also got clips from Pocono. We're going to hear from the truck winner. Brandon Jones won his first truck race. Won Xfinity race, never won a truck race. Imagine that.
For sure.
Yeah.
He drove the wheels off that truck today.
He did? The 51.
It was a great finish. Triple header, man. First time in NASCAR history. Of course, rain delay, moved the truck race to today.
Right.
As well, you know, they were planning a double header with the Cup Series Saturday and Sunday, so that's part of the norm.
Yep.
But it was going to be trucks, and Cup yesterday, and then it was going to be Cup and Xfinity today. And but cool, first time in the history of the sport where you get all three series on the same day.
At one track,
yes. With full-length races.
Yeah. And it just about didn't happen, right?
Just about, no.
Cup guys are back green now.
They are back green as
we speak. But they weren't green an hour ago.
No, exactly.
It was rain delay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, up in the mountains there, very easy for rain delays to happen. Rains just pop up, and it just happens. It seems like every time the Cup guys go to Pocono, whether it be practice day, whether it be qualifying day, whether it be the whole weekend, or whether it be race day, you're gonna see rain in Pocono. It's part of the game. You're gonna see fog, and you're gonna see sun.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it is
the
when
whole
you go
gambit,
there.
Right?
But really cool event. A smash success for sure. Imagine being a TV guy or a crew member and doing three series in one day.
They're going to be tapping out.
They will be tired. Yeah, they will be tired on the way home for sure.
We're going to hear from Brandon Jones, the winner of the truck race. We'll hear from second place, Austin Hill, in the 16 truck. Also had a wicked run. We're going to try and get Austin on live, but he's traveling, so we get the next best thing, and that's a clip with him. We'll also hear from the Xfinity winner, Chase Briscoe. He had a problem with 68 laps to go, and he talks about it in the clip. So, but he ended up ultimately winning the race, which is kind of cool. Junior, just a great weekend. How about Alex Lebe? DGM racing competitor, drives the 36 normally. He was in the 90 today.
Yeah.
And Alex Labbe was one of those guys that was in the dash for cash dough. And at the end of the race, the green-white checkered, there was only two guys in.
Yep.
Chase Briscoe.
Yeah.
And Alex Labbe. Alex was back in 16th, 17th. If something would have happened to Chase Briscoe with one to go, that would have moved Alex Labbe into the dough spot. He would have been like $100,000 up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Very
that would
cool.
have been so awesome. And he earned a spot in that. That's what I really like.
They talked about it, last week when we had Alex on. They took a massive swing to put him in position for that.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they don't normally work with ECR engines, and they don't normally do quite a few other things that they did on the back end with engineering support and a little bit of wind tunnel time, and they really put a focus on it. And it's interesting though when you look at it, it's all the pieces to the pie, right? It's all the pieces to the puzzle that it takes to run up front in that level of motorsports.
Yeah.
There's no magic wand that makes your car go faster.
No.
You can have a better motor that maybe makes more horsepower. You can have a better aerodynamic package. You can have a better engineering support. But you need everything long term, and everything needs to be cohesive. Like, he was still running 17th. And that's not from how good of a driver he was, or that's not from how good of a team they are.
Well,
they took a larger swing and ran virtually the same, but it's because they don't normally do that all the time.
No, well,
right?
He was up to 11th
before
he hit the fence.
Absolutely,
and
exactly.
And then when he hit the fence, that's what put him back to where
100%.
17.
But
how about it?
Yeah, they... It's not like the magic wand, though, made the car a winning car.
Oh, no.
You know,
no.
And that's just, it goes to show the competition level that's there in the Xfinity Series. But it was cool to see the uptick in performance from the team.
Yes.
You know, with a relatively small increase of investment, you can see the difference, you know, and you can tell that if they had that ability to work on a package like that long term, they have the potential to be a top five team. You know, I know that for a fact. It takes that dollars and cents, but they were doing a wonderful job. Mario and the team definitely spiced it up for sure. And how about Chase Briscoe, man? It's, you know, when you look at that team and that driver, a lot of people looked at Chase Briscoe and didn't know what was going to be happening next year or this year.
Right.
You know, looking
right
back into the winter, Ford, of course, you know, took a massive swing this year and went over to DGM or DGR with Crosley, with Gilliland and Crosley. And with that move, there was a lot of people that said, you know, by the looks of it, the development program on Ford is going to go through a big transition.
Mm-hmm.
And that put Ty Majeski on the outside looking in. And a lot of people thought that was going to put Briscoe on the outside looking in, along with a couple other names that, you know, are on the development side from ARCA and down. And, you know, just because it was a reallocation of funds. But I think that everybody is very pleased with the way that Chase Briscoe has stepped up to the plate and really went over and above this year. It's his second win of the year. He's been in contention to win every single weekend and had some lights out speed everywhere he's went.
Yeah, that really, really cool. We're going to talk more Xfinity. We'll talk more trucks. We'll talk to you about the Cup Series. Of course, Kevin Harvick won yesterday. Who's going to win today?
Yeah, exactly. And we got to give an honorable mention. I know we're going to hear from Austin Hill and we're going to hear from Brandon Jones, winner of the truck race, but we have to give an honorable mention to Sheldon Creed.
Oh,
what
man.
A performance at the end of that race.
Yeah.
Every fan wants to see somebody go for the win.
Yep.
Right? And what we've seen on Sheldon Creed today, I know he finished third, and, you know, third is the second loser, right?
Right.
When you look at it, you know, with two to go there, he got a push and he went for it and split the middle, which you never see on an intermediate style racetrack.
Usually,
I don't care if it's a triangle or a mile and a half. But he got pushed through between Austin Hill and Brandon Jones, who were side by side. He went through the middle, took the lead. Brandon Jones was just able to carry that little bit more momentum, and he ended up losing the nose, got sideways, but he went for it. You can't say that the guy didn't go for it.
Yeah, it was awesome to see. We'll talk more about it in a bit, but we're going to hit our first break. We'll get that firmly out of the way, and while we're doing that, I know Susie Q will be on the horn calling New Brunswick, and we're going to get a winner from Petty International Raceway on here. One of two tonight, Brady Kramer, going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay right there. We're just getting the engines fired up.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialists in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
There's 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home great, away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Get your engines started. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Well, it gives me great pleasure to welcome this next guest for the first time, I believe, on Racetime Radio. He is in as a winner. He won the race last night in the A.E. McKay Builders Late Model Class at Petty International Raceway in New Brunswick. He's got to still have a perma grin on his face. Let's welcome in Brady Kramer. What's going on, Brady? Congratulations on the huge win, my friend.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I know. It was finally just great to get back to the racetrack, honestly. We're happy to finally get the back in the seat and back in the groove of things. And, we're happy we were able to pick up the win. It's the first one of the year.
I bet you, and I bet you the feeling at Petty would have been electric there last night.
Yeah, they had a pretty decent crowd. They did a great job with marking out all their social distancing stuff, and hats off to Wayne and Ellen for putting on the show. This, you know, everything just kind of came together last minutes for fans and whatnot. So there was a pretty decent crowd, and there's some campers in the campground, and the pits were full, and it was great. I don't think we might not even have had to win, and I think everything, but we still would have smiles in our face because we're just back at the racetrack doing what we love, so can't be more thankful for that.
Winning just makes the smile bigger, right?
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah. Absolutely.
The beers are colder when you win, and the smiles are bigger. That's just the way that it works.
It makes you want to go back a lot more the next week, for sure.
Absolutely. Talk to us about the race. Obviously, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but talk about the overall event. I know you touched on the social distancing portion, and by all accounts, it seems like they did a wonderful job. A difficult animal, obviously, for a racetrack and a promoter to have to throw together. This is all new. But talk about the overall event, kind of from start to finish, if you can. Give us a cliff note of the events that took place throughout the day.
Yeah, the event it was good. It really was much different than what we're used to, I guess. You know, as far as pit entrance and gates open and stuff. So it was all pretty much the same. We still had a regular three practices for the day. You know, they still had their support classes and whatnot, four or five classes, I think, street stock, sportsman, the women on wheels, bandoleros, mini stocks. So it was good. You know, it really wasn't much difference. I mean, everybody was a little more spread out to the pits. You know, the grandstands were you know, the in between every row was covered, so you couldn't, so everybody had to do their social distancing. But as far as the racing events went, it was good. Everything was competitive. You know, there's a lot of respect given. You know, you have your few little run-ins here and there, but it was the racing was good. You know, there was a lot of competitive cars. Our practicing was everybody was really was pretty tight for on the timesheets and stuff. So it was just overall, it was just a great day. It was good hard racing, and it was good.
Justin Beers in second spot. You got the 48C of Courtney Oblinas in third. Competition hot and heavy. When did you take the lead? And was Justin there? Did you have to pass him for the lead, or what was the scenario there?
Pretty much, I started fourth and got held up a bit on the outside. So I think I dropped back to sixth. And I think Justin was behind us, even further back. So Dave, hopefully, you know Dave, hopefully, he had a sportsman car out, his new, he had a Ford car there, and he, a couple of him and his daughters, they got, Courtney had the pole, they just scooted ahead a little bit, so it took my car probably 15 laps, 20 laps, really, to come in and get going, so we kind of just rode and did what we had to do, and then once the car tires started to come in, we started picking them off, and I think it was a little over halfway. I'm not exactly sure, but had to go by Dave. Luke McLaughlin, he's new to the division. He won his heat races. Hats off to him. Those guys, they got a brand-new car pretty much. So he was running in the top three or four, I think. He broke the transmission. So we just picked our way through and then passed Courtney, I think just over halfway maybe. It was 69 lap race. Passed her about halfway and had a few cautions towards the end. So it kind of bunched the field back up and whatnot. And just able to hang on and get the win.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it went your way, Brady. That was the whole object of the game last night, was to get out there and win that first one of the year. Did you have any practice heading into the night, or were you as green as the track?
We tested the night before. They had an open practice night. Like I said earlier, it felt really just like a normal race weekend. You just had to stand a little bit further away from everybody than normal, but we had a practice the night before, so we tested the night before, we had probably put on 60 or 70 laps just to work the bugs out of the car, make sure nothing was going to fall off or break or leaks and stuff. So we did that, and then Saturday morning we showed up a little bit earlier and went in, put the car back on the scales, and worked at it. We weren't that great when we unloaded, so we just did a lot of changes, and we were just lucky that we were able to get it in the right direction when the heat race came around. And so it wasn't too bad.
If you're just tuned into Race Time Radio, welcome aboard. We got Brady Kramer. He won last night at Petty International Raceway in New Brunswick. They are fired up. They are going. Brady, social distancing, of course, was there. Is that a law still at the track? Are they allowed to fill the track up but social distance everybody? Or is there a cap on the amount of fans that can actually attend a race?
Nope. See, I guess it was announced last week that everybody was caught by surprise, but usually we assume when they first come out with their format for this race weekend, specifically, they were only going to be allowed to have 50 people in the pits per time. So they were going to have to do it in segments and get cars and stuff to pull in, pull out. So, there's no cap actually. It's just everybody's got to do their social distancing. Maybe 6 feet apart. I think groups of 10, I think it was, is what it was, and they have to be separated. Guys in the pits, if you really couldn't be social distanced, do your social distancing, you're supposed to wear a mask. And I've seen some people going with masks on. You know, they had their hand washing stations around and stuff. So they did, the racetrack did a phenomenal job. Everything just went like a normal race day. So, you know, they did their job. But as far as the capacity, I mean, you know how short track racing is now. I mean, they're not going to fill the place every single, you know, for every regular Saturday night. You know, your big events, they will. But So it wasn't really, it just was like a normal race day. They just, I mean, they had what they normally had for fans. They had what they normally had for a car count. So it was, you know, everybody got to enjoy the race, and just like they normally always would, it was actually great.
Brady, I've followed you along for quite some time. You're a staple on the East Coast. You seem to pop up at a majority of the events out there. But give the fans, like, we haven't had you on Racetime Radio a whole lot, but give the fans a breakdown of your career leading up to where you're at now.
Okay, yeah. So my dad, pretty much, he's Gareth Creamer. He raced in the mid-'80s, 90s, and early 2000s. So that's where I got started. I started in Kirk's when I was 5, so that would have been 97 or 98. And I just, you know, we got our feet wet in that, raced cars competitively for six, I think we were talking about this last night, for 6 years. And then we jumped to Legend Cars after that when in Nova Scotia, then it was pretty much starting to get pretty popular down that way. So did some Legend Cars stuff, wasn't as successful in that. Just really learned a lot about driving, learned a lot about my, you know, racing skills and getting better. I did the Legend Cars thing for 13 until I was 15 or 17. And then I jumped right to a pro stock and did that for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And we actually dropped back down to the sportsman division just because of the cost and whatnot. You know, I don't have a lot of backing or at all, so it's all out of our own pockets, really, and just small local sponsors and stuff. So, but did the pro stock thing for a while, then dropped back to sportsman. Then we started getting pretty competitive then. And then once we started getting competitive in the sportsman, I really had the itch to get back to a pro stock again. So we jumped back to the pro stock in 2014 or 2015, I forget now. And was involved with Jeff Armstrong quite a bit, and he was a big help in getting us really competitive in the pro stock. Had some good runs, never had any wins, but we did, you know, the local 250s and stuff, and it was, you know, we were competitive, but it just got to a point where it was just too much money, and it was either going to have to stop racing or drop back again. So we went back to sportsman racing in 2018, and yeah, we were lucky enough to be, you know, got involved with the Frasers. Frank Frazier, that's, you know, we rely on him and Curtis Lindsay. He raced with Scott Frazier way back when they were best buddies, and I'm just fortunate enough to be able to get involved with them guys now, and it made my sports and stuff a lot more competitive. Yeah, that's where we're at now. That's how I got to where I am now. So, but yeah, that's what it is.
It's amazing how many times the Frazier name comes up when we talk to a maritime guy.
Yeah.
It's so cool. But it's amazing how many people they've helped, how many people, you know, the Frazier family, you know, has been there with everybody, it seems. You know, when we talk maritime racing in general, and it doesn't matter what type of division, it's a name that always comes up, and I think you know, our listenership definitely hears that. But really cool story, and you know, when you look at it, you know, I don't view any step down from pro stock to sportsman other than cost metrics, right? Like, the competition level in a sportsman is equal to that of a pro stock tour, is equal to that of the Pinty's tour, is equal to that of the Cup Series. It's just all about cost metrics. And no matter what, you're up against 20 guys that can win a race, or 20 guys and gals that can win a race, or more, right? So it's usually better to be a big fish in a small pond, and you know, be able to carry that aggression and that speed and everything, the whole package that you're able to put together. And I look at that, you know, in Ontario, and we've seen quite a few guys do that over the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Like we've seen quite a few guys, you know, whether it be, you know, they race APC and then they decide to go racing in the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup or the Oscar Modifieds or what have you.
Yeah.
And the neat part is they race different, right? Like when you drive your sportsman car now, they drive differently than a pro stock, but they're equal fun, right?
Yeah, the competition, you get on the NAPA series there in Antigonish. We have some big races in New Brunswick. I mean, everything's different this year, but the competition is crazy. Like, you're going to have your handful. It's the same as the Pro Stock Tour, Maritime Pro Stock Tour. You're going to have your same handful of guys, as Butchers and Blankhorns and, those guys there that are Gosby, Cassius Clark, which is King Racing, and Reeds and all that. There's always that pool of guys that are always going to be fast and that, they do their homework, and they're always going to be quick. And it's no different than sports and racing. You're going to always come up against your Colby Smiths or your, Laurie Cormays or, Curtis Collins for Christ's sake, or Lonnie Somerville's Camp of Cares or whatever. It's all the same thing. It's laid out a little bit different. The sports and racing, there's not really much of a tour, so when you can go to every different track in the Maritimes and be competitive and win races, that's when you're at the top of your division. But there's certain guys that can, there's certain guys that can't, there's certain guys that they race sports and cares because it's the same as anything else. There's budgets and they race their points racing and whatnot. So this year there's probably not going to be as much points racing. So hopefully we'll be able to see more cars traveling around and being around. So, but it's the competition. It's like you said. It doesn't matter if it's the Pro Stock Tour to this, or if it's, Cup Series to K&N or to, whatever, it's their ARCA or whatever, it's the same thing. It's always competitive. We just have different pools of people, different pools of budgets, whatever. So, it's pretty crazy how it works, but we're just fortunate enough that, we get help from the Fraziers, and I stay in touch with Frank as good as I can, and Curtis is a huge help, and it's just the knowledge and stuff that goes behind that's able to, I don't have a big budget. We're not spending big money. We're reusing tires. We're doing what we got to do. Buy an old hauler, do whatever. So it's kind of, yeah. We're doing with what we can, but it's cool how that all works out.
Well, and it's saying a lot too, because you're getting results. One of Frankie's top sayings, at least when I look at Frankie Fraziers, he got under the car one night long time ago. I interviewed him in Victory Lane, and he said to me, "Joe, this car was so fast, Mom could drive the thing." Was that the way your car was last night? So fast, Mom could drive it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. It was the car was. I mean, there's always room for improvement. You're only as good as your last lap or your last race, I guess, however you want to put it. But it was to start the year off that's strong. We're missing some key guys there. That the Vinos that are always good and petty in the sports and division. Lori, Luke. His last name, but Bourgeois, those guys there, they're always front runners and whatnot. We're missing a few of those guys, but as far as feeling comfortable, Mom could get in the car and win, I think, yesterday, so it was pretty good.
You gotta love it. And you know what, the competition's coming. Some of the guys are behind the eight ball, struggling for funds if they were out of work for 3 months or whatever. I know the competition will be back. Give those sponsors a hit for me, will you, that are on that number 10 car?
Yeah, we're actually kind of lacking some sponsors right now. It was a blank canvas for the weekend, really, but really I actually just want to thank Concept Drilling's buddy of mine, Kyle McGraw, and his company. They're jumping on board this year a little bit. And I just want to thank Curtis and Frank, because they always give me the time of day and whenever I need it, and for talking or whatever. Dan McGrath, he's a friend of mine. He's from Moncton. We kind of were going to be done racing, and he kind of pushed me to get going again and help us out financially and stuff. So you got to gear it up with a car and a trailer and whatnot, and we worked a deal out. So I thank Dan for sure. But other than that, we're kind of a little bit the canvas is pretty blank this year, so we're always open to new sponsors. We're always open to new help. I just want to thank Wayne and Ellen too for putting on an event. Thank my parents and everybody just anybody that gives me a hand or through the week or whatever. But we're a pretty small little team, so it's all the little extra dollars we get, every dollar counts. So, but we're I guess I got to thank my wallet. That's about all I can do, because that's most of where the money's coming from.
Well, you did a dynamite job, kiddo. Congratulations on win number one. I'm sure that is only win number one amongst many in 2020, now that Petty International Raceway is back on the map and rolling. Hopefully the other tracks can get out of the box, and I know I look forward to catching you at one of those tracks throughout the course of the year. Brady, this has been great. We can't thank you enough for your time, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, get those fenders filled up. Anybody tuned in out in New Brunswick, Brady Kramer's the guy you want to be on. Brady, have a good night, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
You betcha. Brady Kramer, watch for him the next time at Petty International Raceway. We are going to hit a break. When we come back, another winner from Petty, this time in a street stock. We got Riley Goodwin coming up on the other side of the break. Don't you go anywhere. We will be right back.
Hey, race fans, this is Trevor Bain, and I'm glad you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, Racetime Radio. Only on SiriusXM 167. We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in here tonight live on racetimeradio.com and soon to be on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks, from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern every Sunday night right here on Canada Talks. You may also be tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com that airs Racetime Radio a bunch throughout the course of the week, or maybe, just maybe, you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM, Andy Ganesh. Welcome to you, or Gearhead Country Radio. Or maybe you're tuned in on your own time at Racetime Radio. You can always listen to a re-air or just search iTunes for Racetime Radio, and you can have the show anytime. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe, and you'll never miss RTR again. Let's go back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in another winner from Petty International Raceway. This driver, he drives the number 77, a beautiful-looking street stock. His name is Riley Goodwin. The name says it all. Goodwin there, Mr. 77. How'd it go?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic, Riley. Great win for you last night. That's the way you start a season right there.
Yeah, it was great. I couldn't be more happy with it after all the time in the garage. Me and my dad and my best friend spending setting it up, and Lonnie Somerville helping us set it up, and all that time just finally paid off. It was great.
Ah, you can't go wrong hooking up with company like that. How was it? Take us through the race. Of course, we didn't see it here. How did it go? Where did you start? Obviously, you won the race. Take us through your night.
Well, we unloaded the car, and I mean, my home track is Speedway 660 in Gary, New Brunswick, and We traveled down to Moncton. It's about an hour and a half drive, and we unloaded the car, and honestly, we had no clue what to think. But we got out and went out and practiced, got some new tires in, and actually, we had a decent first practice. I guess we were at the top of the board first practice, which was surprising for us. And then we came in, set our stagger, and did some adjustments, and went out second practice, and the car just kept getting better and better all day. Between the practices, it felt like it kept getting faster and faster, and the handling was super good. And then we started fourth in the heat race, I think, and kind of got stuck. We were racing side by side for the whole 10-lap heat race, so I think we ended up getting third in the heat race with nowhere to go. But that put us starting P5 for the feature, 10 cars, I believe. And when we started the feature, when the green flag flew, the outside lane kind of shuffled back, and we got up to third awful quick. And after that, battled with the 80 of Ryan Richard there, and for a couple laps, and managed to get the second. And we were running second for the first 38 laps out of 50, and caution finally came out, and I was like, oh boy, I didn't want the caution to come out because I didn't want to go on the high side. But came on the high side, and I went to go. I shift on the restarts, and when I went to go shift, the shifter wouldn't even move. The linkage was broke right off, so I was stuck in second gear for that. And I was just thinking to myself, oh man, I'm screwed now. I said, I ain't gonna be able to clear him on the high side. And when we came on the restart, coming out of turn four, the 68 of Michael Cormier, I think he had a carburetor problem or something, which it gave me lots of room and helped me a lot. I cleared him coming out of turn four, or coming into turn one, and never looked back from there, from lap 38 to 50. And yeah, it was a great race. I had a lot of fun. Everyone gave room. It was good racing. There was no beating and thrashing. It was a good day.
You got to love it when a plan comes together and all of a sudden you're clear. You're clearing yourself to the low side, especially if you're having trouble. It would have been a great feeling. Now, was Lonnie or Larry Somerville with you last night, or was it just you and the crew?
No, Lonnie and Larry, they weren't. They were back home. Lonnie was in the garage actually working on this other customers' race cars, but I can't thank him enough. He, the amount of time he dedicated just to me, myself, telling me what to do and what adjustments to make to my car to get it where it was today, and it helped a lot. It was just the crew down there, me and my dad, and my best friend Buddy there, and my grandfather, and I guess we had some couple other family members down there helping us, but hats off to him, because he's what made that car go around in circles.
I tell you what, man, the car that you have, there's not enough Monte Carlos anymore in racing, but my favorite, bar none, my favorite look to a race car is that era of Monte Carlo SS. I urge everybody to go to racetimeradio.com. You can see a picture of Riley's car right on our website, but an 86 Monte Carlo SS, doesn't matter the year, it could be 87, 88, but that style of body, man, you guys have a sporty looking hot rod there with lots of decals all over it. You guys work hard through the sponsorship front and work diligently in the area. Looks like lots of local support on that 77.
Yeah, for sure. That's my favorite body style too. You see a lot of the street stocks around Atlanta, Canada now, they're going to the newer body styles, like the newer Monte Carlos and the Challengers and stuff like that. But I always told my dad that was my favorite one. I didn't want to have no other body. And actually, that body is homemade. Gilbert McLaughlin made that for us in his garage, and we just put it on and took it to one of the sponsors there, our local sponsors, and he painted her for us, and our other local deco shop decoed her up. But the local businesses around definitely are a big help. I mean, with the sponsorships, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be going racing. Like, you can't afford it without your sponsors. I mean, they help you out a lot, and it's good that they support you so you can support them back.
Yeah, good deal. Give them a shout out. Who have you got on that car? Let's get some names flying, my man.
I'd like to thank all my sponsors. Hub Drive Through Bottle Exchange, D. Gillespie and Sons Trucking, Barrymore Craft Trucking, Darren and Crystal Nason, W&R Gillespie, KJM Automotive, Wilkins Signs, J&DRV, Auto Value, MH Electric, E&D Construction, Big Daddy Towing, Robert Curtis at Keller Williams, Swifty's 15-minute oil change, John Iliakis, Jim Gilbert's Wheels and Deals, Jay Donovan Law Group, Granite Industries, Miller's Refrigeration, KB Peterson Roofing, Tony Garvin, Uncle Jamie. I definitely got to thank my family for all they do and support me, especially my Uncle Tom. My car stays at his house all winter, and he spends a lot of time and money helping me out with it, too, to try to get it where it is. And especially the crew, my dad, my friend, my grand, my uncles, just whoever comes down and helps us, it's greatly appreciated. Like, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to go racing, because it takes a lot more than just one person to wrench on a car and drive it, that's for sure. So if it wasn't for my family and friends and the crew, I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today. And sponsors, they definitely helped me out, that's for sure.
Well said, Riley. And you have to tell them all now, say, look, not only did we get in victory lane at Petty International Raceway at night one, but I also gave you a hit nationally. That's what you're going to be able to tell them now. And good on you for doing that, man. You got to win the race to earn stuff like this. We got to put it out to the 13 of Brad McLean. He finished up second. And Michael Cormier, you mentioned him in the 68 car, ended up finishing third. By all accounts, it was a great night. Brady Kramer told us that it was electric. It felt electric last night at Petty. Did it feel the same for you there?
It did. As soon as we got there, it was just like, holy jumpings. It was a long old winter. And then as soon as the COVID-19 started coming around, race season just kept getting pushed back. And then when Wayne Smith, he owns Petty, when he announced they're having a race, I looked at that. I was like, we got to go. I was like, it's been way too long since we've been at a racetrack. So when we got there, it was just, like Brady said, it was just electric. It was the fans. There was a lot of fans there. There was good car camps in every division. It was awesome for a first race back at the start of the season for 2020.
Now, next Saturday, July the 11th, Speedway 660 is going to crack the gates wide open for the 2020 season. Are you going to be at home at Speedway 660 hanging out with Larry and Lonnie and all those guys? Or are you going to go back to Petty because you've got good success there?
No, the way they've alternated the races this year, which has worked out good, Petty goes one weekend and then 660 goes the next weekend. So we're going to try and get as many in as we can, but we'll definitely be back. We'll definitely run all the races at 660 for the home track and support them. And, we'll definitely be hanging out with Larry and Lonnie and all the crew and the boys back at 660 and see if we can't have a few good runs there and carry our luck over to Speedway 660.
Well, you're going to have to say hi to the guys for me, okay? Next time you're in that Lonnie Somerville shot, make sure you say hi to the boys. I look forward to catching up with them and you when we get back out to the East Coast. And that little maritime bubble turns into a Canada bubble, and we can get back out there and bring fans some dynamite racing. Good to see that you had success night number one. What's your takeaway? What are you going to do to that 77 to make it quicker? Is there anything else you can do?
Well, the way me and Dad always say, we said we don't fix nothing that ain't broke. So as far as we brought it home, jacked it up, and took the tires off it, and I guess we fixed the shifting linkage. That was about it. And I told Dad, I said, we ain't touching it until 660. And I said, if we need to make adjustments at the track, we'll. But as far as the way it sits, that's the way she's going to be going to Speedway 660.
Yeah, nothing bolting. That's about it, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Big difference between 660 and Petty, track surface-wise, and the way you race it?
For setup-wise, it's roughly the same. I mean, you might change your stagger a little bit, but track wise, I mean, 660 is more flat of a track and you're always turning, but man, Petty's fun. The banks there, that's the highest. I've never been able to race at like a place like Riverside, so that would have been the place that has the biggest banks for me, and I love it there. They're tighter corners and longer straights, and Petty's a fun track, and so is 660. I like them both, and they'd be definitely my two favorite tracks to race at around here.
Well, you did a dynamite job, man. Great to have you on Racetime Radio. We really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight and taking us through your race. By all accounts, sounds like it was a dynamite one, and fans are going to want to check out 660 Speedway just outside Fredericton next weekend, and then back to Petty International, also in New Brunswick. the week after that. By the sounds of it, they're going to bounce back and forth, right?
Yep, that's right. We're going to, I think our schedule right now, we got this weekend off coming, and then the 11th we go to, we'll be racing at 660, and then the weekend after that we'll go back to Petty. They're hosting a big 100-lapper for the street stocks down there. So we'll be down there and try and see if we can get a good run out of it and see how many races we can get in this summer.
Final question for you tonight. Did you do any iRacing when things were shut down? Were you one of those guys that jumped into Tim's Corner stuff and did any kind of iRacing, or did you just concentrate on the big stuff?
No, yeah, I've never been into that. I don't have iRacing. I laughed at all the people in there because it before it wasn't a big thing, and then as soon as the COVID came around, everyone was like right into it, and I was like, holy, I need to get one of these, but I never did. I just kept working on my own car, I guess, and it was good that with TCM, they put them on TV and stuff, so me and the old man, we'd sit there in the living room and eat some food and just watch them go racing on iRacing, and it was pretty cool, really, for like what we had to have.
It filled the gaps in, that's for sure.
Exactly, yeah.
Absolutely, yep, yep. We'd as racers, we'd all watch shopping carts race. Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just cool that iRacing was able to fill that platform. You look at how many rigs were sold. Think about all the people that we know, like, that bought rigs, like whether it be steering wheels or like full-on simulation rigs, like, my God, yeah. COVID was like the best thing ever for virtual racing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was the big thing.
Unbelievable. Riley, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. You go enjoy that win, man, and good luck at Speedway 660 next weekend.
Thank you guys so much, and thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You betcha. That is Riley Goodwin. He had a real good win on Saturday
night. Don't
do that. At Petty,
what are you
International
doing?
Raceway.
You keep on going back to it.
It's a good win.
It's a good win. It was a good win.
I wonder
if you had good years on the good win car.
You know what?
What's that?
No one will ever forget his name now,
They won't.
Every time they hear the words good win, they're going to think, oh, Riley, I remember hearing him on Race Time.
He's going to be in the sport a long time.
Yes,
you can
he
tell.
Is. Oh, yeah.
He's a
young guy.
Young guy. And he's energetic for sure and great talker, man. It's cool. You know, we've had two guys on the show tonight that are brand new to Race Time Radio,
that
basically.
That we haven't had on,
Like, I know Brady, you know, we've talked about him lots.
I've interviewed Brady in the past.
At the track.
I think. Yes.
I don't think we've ever had him on, like, on the talk radio portion. But two guys that have an undeniable passion for the sport.
Yes.
100%. And that's the thing that you get from the East Coast. You know, obviously, in all forms of racing, you have to have an unmatched passion for the sport to remain in it.
Right.
But when we talk to guys on the East Coast, guys and gals, the amount of passion that's out there for auto racing that you turn left only on is amazing. Oval racing out there in New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, PEI, even Newfoundland. It's so cool to see the amount of excitement out there. And hats off to everybody at Petty. You know, by all accounts, you know, we had two winners on. It was a great event out there.
Yeah, it sure was. Dave Oblinas, and I guess Dave was in the race, and so was his daughter, Courtney.
Yeah,
we have had Courtney on. I want to say it was after one of the big wins. Tim Terry was at, I don't know whether it was 660 or whether it was at Petty, but it was after a big race. We were on the air, and we got Tim to hook us up, and he was right in victory lane with her. I'll tell you what, I watched her on one of the pit road broadcasts that they did from 660, and I seen Courtney do her out there driving. She did amazing.
Yep.
She is really good behind the wheel.
Talk about racing family. Oblinas.
Oblinas. Oh, my God.
They're full-blown racers out there, for sure.
Yeah. Mini stocks. It looks like Rob Portier. And the zero car. He ended up winning the race. Second, the 89 car of Mike Edwards. And in third spot, the 46 of Ryan McKnight. So those are your top three in the Mr. Transmission mini stocks. They did 50 laps. And Hannah Gaunt won it in the 85 for the Women on Wheels. And it was Tegan Dempsey in the 23 that won the Bandolero race. So by all accounts, it sounds like it was a big night at Petit International Raceway. If you've never been there, but you're either in the province of New Brunswick or are heading there, of course, after they lift the border and things start moving again, you want to check out Petit International Raceway. You can get to their website. And if you're going through, make sure you stop there for Netted Racing. Or if you're from the area and haven't been out there, go out and see Wayne Smith and his wife and everybody there. That's the owner of the racetrack. Does a dynamite job. It's a beautiful little racetrack. When I think Petty Jr., and you probably think the same way, we've heard from Jonathan Hicken that in his pro stock has had huge success at Petty in a pro stock. He's usually the go-to guy.
Yeah, he's got that place figured out. It seems like every time that there's a Petty race, he's right up there.
He won't miss it, I guarantee you.
No, for sure. He's, I through the week, I got a chance to talk to, you know, a couple of the pro stock guys talking, you know, about next weekend's race at Petty. And it doesn't sound like there's going to be five fast cars and 20 decent ones. It sounds like there's going to be 25 really rocking fast cars.
Pro stocks are back there next weekend?
Next weekend.
The weekend after the 11th, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Nice. We'll have to
There's a big pro stock race out there for sure.
Well, we'll end up with a winner right here on Racetime Radio. Absolutely. On Sunday night. Look forward to that. As always, with those pro stock guys. It's not going to be long. The way the bubble is sort of laid out, the way I understand it correctly, Newfoundland, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and PEI are all under a bubble. If you're from one of those provinces, you're going to be free to move about any one of those provinces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to open it up. Now, in saying that, Nova Scotia at Scotia Speed World or Riverside, they're not opening the racetrack up yet to have events, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to watch for that to develop. Just the only racing right now is in New Brunswick.
Well, it takes time, right? It takes time to orchestrate the entire deal. It seems like this bubble caught a lot of people off guard, for sure, you know, just the way that everything's structured.
Yeah, everybody's hoping for it.
Exactly.
I wish I had that much hope for Ontario right now.
Yeah.
But I don't have that much hope yet.
No. I don't have that much hope for the rest of Canada right now.
Yeah.
When you look at Quebec, you know, they obviously moved the Formula One race in Quebec all the way to Thanksgiving long weekend.
Yeah.
I don't even have hope for that.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult.
It's,
I believe.
You know, not to say that that we can't be surprised by, you know, results here, but you know, if we can get there by mid August,
wouldn't that be cool?
That would be, you know, kind of best case scenario for us, I think, for the Ontario side.
Yeah, it sure would be. We're going to throw it back to Toronto right now, get you up to date on some news and some highlights that you may have missed over the last hour. And then Junior and I are coming back for hour two of Racetime Radio. Coming up on the other side, Rick Verburn, driver of the 21 Superstock, Chris LeBaron. He's going to join us. We got lots still to come, plus clips from Pocono. We will be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
We're
Race Time Radio. With the two Joes. Here on Race Time Radio. On Sirius XM 167. Where Canada talks.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. No, not live on Sirius XM 167. But we're going to be, right now, you're still tuned in to a delay. And the reason why there's a delay between Race Time Radio and Sirius XM is because of COVID-19. Well, we don't have an operator in the Toronto studio that we can connect with until things get worked out. And I know they're working on some solutions that they're going to be able to do that off-site, and we're still going to be able to dial in. But at any rate, it is a delay that you're hearing Race Time Radio right now on Sirius XM Channel 167. So that is being worked on. But nevertheless, you're not missing the show now, are you? You're still getting it. So we want to thank you all for tuning in. And what do you say we get back to the hotline and let's welcome in our next guest. This driver, I just call him Sparky. He is the Spark Power number 21. He's from down near that London market. And this guy is just dynamite. Let's welcome in... Junior, my phone went off here, yeah. And that was Bruce Bester, and I got to call him back. But let's welcome in Rick Verburn. What's going on there, Ricky? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys tonight?
Good, good.
Hey,
good.
The phone's ringing here.
Yeah.
Pick
it up and let him know, Joe. Just let him know.
I will do that.
So, Ricky, you got the number 21 all prepared and all set and ready to go, or what?
Yeah, we were actually out yesterday testing. I turned my first ever laps at Flamborough Speedway, and... what a fun little track that is. Holy smoke.
So that's the way you want to do it, right? That's where you are going to go racing here next weekend, right? It's next weekend, the race?
Yeah, that's right. On July 4th, the guys at Flamborough have done an awesome job getting some of these races put together in this time, right? Everybody's, you know, struggling getting things together, and Gary and John have just done an amazing job getting this together. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, is it going to be on GeForce? Are we going to be able to watch this one?
Absolutely, yeah. It'll be on GeForce TV. It'll be live streamed, and then I believe they're going to turn that over to Rev TV Canada afterwards. So it'll be on TV in the coming week.
You got to love that.
Absolutely. It's definitely exciting. Rick, you've spent a majority of your driving time at Delaware Speedway. I know we've talked a little bit about, taking the truck that you used to run back in the day around to a few different tracks, but you did touch on it. Flamborough Speedway, you've never turned a lap there. Obviously, you got a chance to be a crew chief for DJ Kennington for the big win, the big late model win over there, but that wasn't behind the wheel. This is a little bit different now. What did you take away from the test that you guys took part in this weekend?
Well, you definitely got turned the middle there. I was fortunate enough to watch that late model race and kind of see guys like J.R. Fitzpatrick and DJ, you know, work the line a little bit and see where the entries were. I stood between 3 and 4 and really paid attention to how they enter into 3. And we took that information with us yesterday, and we went out. And to be honest with you, right off the truck, we were really, really quick. And I had no idea what lap times were like there. And Gary Collin came over and told us that we were, setting some really, really decent speeds. And to be honest with you, Joe, I thought, Jesus, car handles so good, it must be really slow. But it wasn't at all, and we're looking forward to it, man. It's quite a fun little racetrack.
Absolutely. The difference being, obviously, from Delaware Speedway, for all the fans that are listening that don't know the two racetracks, Delaware Speedway is a very fast half mile with some moderate banking, lots of character to it, very bumpy, but definitely some very high corner speeds, but more of a sweeping corner with two opposite ends that handle very differently with an uphill and a downhill transition. So Delaware Speedway is a very different racetrack than a relatively perfect oval at Flamborough Speedway that's roughly, you know, just over a quarter mile. Two very different racetracks for sure. Do you take much away, Rick, from driving at Delaware Speedway versus driving at Flamborough Speedway? Like, did you take much of what you've learned over the years at Delaware, and were you able to apply a lot of it to Flamborough?
I think it's so much different, Joe, that, you know, there you're digging hard on the brakes, whipping it around, back to the throttle. In Delaware, you got to be a little bit more smooth. And then when you go to Ducati, you got to be smoother yet. But I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, I felt like that we got a hold of the track pretty decent for not really having any laps there. And the guys worked hard. We made a lot of adjustments. And I just think that it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a totally different situation with 24 or 26 cars on the track. Yeah. You got to believe that. But really looking forward to it.
New notebook time. Are you going to have DJ on top of the box for you now? Is it going to be role reversal time?
Yeah, that's right. He's been a huge part of this. I've worked a lot of hours in that shop this winter. Evidently, it's supposed to be Andrew Rader's crew chief in the Pindy Series this year. So DJ and I spent a lot of time in the off season preparing cars, and I tell you, we had everything laid out really good, and DJ and I got great chemistry, I think, going into this, and man, I can't wait for that series to get going either. But yeah, DJ is going to be there, and a couple of his other guys, and then my guys, and we're going to have a hell of a good time.
Now, you know
he
what
doesn't
you
get a radio
do.
Though. He doesn't. We're not giving DJ a radio. We're not giving him a radio for the time over there.
Maybe we should, Joe.
No.
The way he gives us crap all the time, maybe we should put one on him. I mean, start yelling back.
I'm cool with that. What we should do is disconnect his mic just so he has to listen to us. That's what we should do. That way he thinks he's yelling at us, but he's not.
Yeah, well, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be turning him into another Donald. I'd be saying, okay, I didn't tell you this part, DJ. You're Don Reinhardt this weekend. You're cooking. Yeah. And taking care of us, and then when I come in, don't forget I need a right front.
That's right.
That would work out perfect. You are not new to Superstock. You've had a car now for quite a few years, and you're good at it. Did you make many gains this winter, and is it the same car that you had last year, that number 21 car?
Yeah, it's the same chassis that we built I guess in 2018, David White built it, and I'm telling you, I spent a ton of time. I built myself a little pull down rig, and I copied off a kind of a DRP laser setup, and I spent just a ton of time. I don't think I had the body on until well after where we were supposed to have our first race, just because we were fine tuning and everything. Obviously, that we did come together here this weekend. And you never know when you get that deep into it and you make all those kinds of changes. And you know, we made changes to fit the new Ontario Superstock rulebook as well. And the car was really, really good. So David White helped a lot. The car was at White Motorsports a couple times, getting some upgrades done. And those guys are, you know, just amazing, do amazing work. So we're pretty excited.
So we're with Rick Verburn tonight, driver of the 21. You're going to see him at Flamborough Speedway on July the 4th. How many lap is this race going to be, Ricky?
It's a 50-lap race. I think they're probably going to do something similar to the late models where we had a group qualifying session and then straight up 50 laps. I think they'll probably invert some. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm assuming that's probably what they'll do. So we got to qualify up front, and hopefully we can stay out of trouble and put on a good show.
Do you have a strategy? Do you plan a strategy into a 50-lap race like that at a track you've never raced at? Or do you just let the day come to you and you take what you get?
Well, I'm not really sure there, to be honest. But yesterday, I probably put about 85, 90 laps on total. And we just wasted away some of our sets of tires from last year. But having some fun, and I did a couple long runs to kind of see how the balance would change, but I don't think you can really save much racing against those guys from that track that are so used to those, you know, that style racing, and But we're going to try our best, and hopefully we can come out with a decent finish.
Rick, looking at last year, I would put the Jucasa Superstock race, right up there with the definite best car counts possible from Superstocks, with arguably the most competition. And by all accounts, it sounds like all the same, the cast of characters that were in the front half or the left side of the speed chart at Jucasa are going to be at Flamborough. You don't have a whole lot of experience racing with some of these guys, but talk a little bit about who you're, really looking forward to race against at Flamborough. Looking at Jucasa last year, you were in that top 10 basically the entire time for both trips there. But you've definitely spent a little bit of time with some of these guys, but who are you looking forward to racing when you get there?
Well, I think, Brad Collison and Justin Collison are obviously going to be good, and Corey McAllister is going to be good, and a bunch of those guys that, some of them I raced against at Jucasa and some of them I didn't. But I was hoping Brandon McFerrin would be there, because it seems like every race at Jucasa we run door to door for a lot of laps, but I don't think he's going to make it. But I think it's just a great group of cars that's going there. Not a lot of Delaware cars heading that way, but I know my cousin Bill Breckelman is going to drive the 07 car. That'll be a lot of fun. We love racing with each other, yeah. Obviously. We're great friends. And then I think Andrew Ferreira is also going. He's a track champion last year at Delaware. So one, we kind of have a rivalry with him a little bit, but I don't think Flamborough is a place to settle that. But really looking forward to just racing against some other guys again, try to keep our nose clean and have some fun. We're definitely going to go for all we can get. As long as Joe up there can keep us clear and keep our nose clean, we'll be good.
No pressure or nothing.
He's the one who drives it, basically, right?
Yeah, that's what he says. That's what he says. Yeah,
that's all on him.
But I also get blamed if it doesn't go right.
Well,
that's just the way that it works.
Three words Absolutely. You got to remember, Rick. Three words. Protect the bottom. You got to do that at Flamborough Speedway, unless J.R. Fitzpatrick's out there with you, and then protect the top and the bottom, because the guy can go high or low. And that's what it takes at Flamborough, right? You got to set it up for both.
Yeah, absolutely. I seen that there last week. And, it looks like to me that on a restart, you could, if you happen to start on the outside, you're probably got a decent chance, if you hang out there long enough. But obviously the bottom's where you want to be. And on a restart, I don't think you even want to take that top. It'd be pretty easy for a guy to just story it going into one and send you to the back. But I think it's going to be fun. It's been a long wait. It feels like it's been a year since, I got in that car yesterday, and all those same smells and feels, and I had a smile on my face for sure.
Now, did you have to move the steering wheel up a little bit? Like, I know last year, the cheeseburger snuck up on you a little bit. I seen a picture of the suit. It looked a little tighter than it did.
Listen to who's talking about this.
Hey, I'm allowed to. I'm allowed to. It's Rick. I'm just asking. I'm asking for a friend here.
We were kind of joking about that yesterday a little bit when I was trying to slip that suit on. Tammy from Apex builds my suits and does a phenomenal job, but she can't make them stretchy. So, but DJ and I were talking about that too, because he had a brand new suit and he didn't wear it at that late model race either. So I think we both got a little bit of work to do in that end of things. But we got the car really, really good. And DJ has been a big help. I've been doing setup with him and we've been talking back and forth. And I even threw some ideas at him last night. So I think we work well together and we'll get her figured out.
Are you not on the DJ meal plan? I thought he was on some big I'm going to lose half my body weight thing.
Well, he was.
He was.
He hasn't put on as much as I did over the winter, but we're slipping up just a little bit over there. And no racing to keep us in shape, I guess, if that's what you want to call it.
It's left side weight, bud. It's all good.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to get a little lower, though, Joe.
a little lower would really help.
You got to tell me something, Rick Verburn. You got to tell me, what the hell is spark power? I see it on the side of your race car. I have no idea what spark power is. Can you tell me?
They're awesome. That's what they are.
Perfect.
Spark Power is a high voltage electrical company. So they install, service, and maintain power stations, power transformer stations. They do wind turbine maintenance. So anything high voltage electrical. They have they're a North American wide corporate company now with quite a few locations in the States and across Canada, and just a great partner. I mean, when this race was announced, I phoned them up, and obviously we hadn't cashed any checks when COVID started, and I didn't want to, just, you know, they needed that money more than I did at that point. And I called them up, and everything's good, and everything's good for the whole year. Whatever we can do or whatever races come up, we'll be in. And I'm really looking forward to traveling around a bit this year and getting some experience at some different places.
You got to love it when you get partnerships like that. And sounds like you guys are a dead-on match, because knowing you, Rick, and seeing what you do, you dedicate 110% to everything that you do, and that's kind of cool. This is going to be a dynamite race at Flamborough Speedway. Fans cannot go, but the cool part is you can tune into GeForce.tv and be able to catch the action. They did a dynamite job with the late model race. I can't wait to see what they do with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. They did a fantastic job, Adam Ross and Clinton Jeffrey and everybody there. I mean, just a stand-up job for I don't know if this was a projected thing. I know they've been doing it at Ashwiken, but they definitely put together an awesome program there. And hats off to those guys, because that, you know, obviously it's really tough for these tracks to do it without fans. It's also tough for our sponsors to do it without fans. And when you can bring something live stream like that and get the viewership that it's had, it's an incredible thing.
You want to believe it. It's going to be awesome, Ricky. Not many sleeps now. Are you going to be able to sleep Friday night?
Oh, boy, I don't know. We got some work ahead of us, I think. I think the car is quick enough where it is, but, you know, I think you can always strive to make it better. So we'll have a few nights this week double and triple checking everything and making a few adjustments, and I think we'll be ready to go come Friday.
Well, the night before that race at Flamborough that Joe was spotting for DJ, the night before that I went upstairs walking by his bedroom, and I could hear something. I didn't know what the hell it was. I opened the door, and here he is sitting in his bedroom with a headset on and a microphone going, okay, clear, clear, clear. I said, Junior, wake up, wake up. You're sleep sitting up again and spotting.
This is all a lie.
Yeah. Dynamite. I know you guys all get excited for it, and I don't blame you, because we're excited for the race. And Ricky, you're going to factor into that. Good luck in the race, and we can't thank you enough for your time tonight on Race Time. It's been a hoot.
Yeah, I hope so. I think we'll have a really good ride, and hopefully we can hunt some trophies with our Rack Hunter Spark Power Dodge. And Albert Francis went out there, debuted his Rack Hunter car, and got a trophy. So I got some big shoes to fill there, and hopefully we can pull that off as well.
Absolutely. Rick, the trophy hunter.
That's right.
Yeah. Ah, there you go. And that's cool. One down south, one up here. Man, that's what it needs. Qualifying is going to be everything. Remember, protect the bottom.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Rick Verburn, it's been great. Thanks so much, brother.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on. And maybe we'll be back on next week if we can pull that off.
So, absolutely.
See how it goes. And keep Joe in shape there for me, Senior. And we'll... Well, hopefully you can climb up top of that stand and do a good job for it.
Just so everybody knows, round is a shape.
That's right.
I'll keep him away from the beer fridge the night before. I promise, Ricky.
All righty. Thanks, guys.
Okay. That's Rick Verburn, driver of the 21 Super Stock Spark Power Rack Hunter. He's got a great-looking race car. By all accounts, sounds like he is ready to go, Junior, and you're going to go down there and spot for him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know,
one big happy team you guys are.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the coolest things to be a part of. You know, this DJK you know, team since I started working with DJ and Andrew Ranger and the group over there. You know, when you look at you know, the depth of the team that DJ has assembled, you know, Rick is separate from DJ K. There's a DJ K sticker on the car. But it's so cool because, you know, it's just a group of racers, you know, with all various different types of backgrounds. And everybody on the Pinty Series team rallies behind what Rick does. And everybody on Rick's team actually rallies around what DJ does. It's interesting. Obviously, Rick, his family, you know, he's got his brothers and his dad are huge supporters of racing. And then even his cousin, you know, racing in the super stock division as well. You know, his brothers work on the Pinty side. Mm-hmm. They also work on Rick's stuff as well. You know, we had such a good year last year working with Andrew Ranger and the 27 Mopar car, you know, going to Victory Lane a bunch of times and getting the championship and really it's just a tight knit bunch. You know, we go to the racetrack and it is all business. We will do anything it takes. We'll look at anybody's stuff. You know, we take in the entire event. But it's fun the entire time. It's all business, but it's all fun as well. Which is really cool. And we have such a good time together. Obviously Rick and I, you know, I've spotted for him a handful of times at Jucasa, you know, for the big super stock shows and it's just a lot of fun. You know, we banter back and forth on the radio and you know, it's, we show up to the racetrack with one goal and that's to win the race. But it's like that for every time we go to the racetrack, which is, you know, not a whole lot of teams can say that and not a whole lot of teams can back that up. Not to say that we win every time we go,
but
we go with the sole intention of winning and we'll do whatever it takes to do that.
Yeah. If it wasn't fun, you guys wouldn't be doing it.
100%. Nobody's getting rich on this deal for sure.
It's competitive.
It's competitive.
But it's good competitive fun.
Exactly. Yep. For sure.
Yeah. That's the way to go. Quick break. When we come back, how about race parts? We're going to catch up with Chris LeBaron, RPM Race Parts. You don't know what that is? Trust me, you're going to want to listen to this next interview. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And and when your team isn't playing. Follow the National Football League 24-7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL, sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Take you all the way to the track and back.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Little kid bringing us back from our third break, as he always does. Let's go back to the hotline, shall we? I want to introduce you to a guy that I've known now for a couple of years. It's Chris LeBaron. He's over in Barrie area, and he's got a couple of businesses going. And I'll tell you what, he's doing a lot of good in the racing industry right here in Ontario. And I believe that race teams nationwide could benefit by knowing a guy like Chris LeBaron. He's got RPM Race Parts. And he's got also another Facebook page, and let's welcome him to the show, Chris LeBaron. What's going on there, Chris? How you doing?
Hey, Joe and Joe Jr., how you guys doing? Thanks for having me to the show.
Fantastic, my man. It's been quite a race weekend. I bet your eyes have been full, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been enjoying the racing all weekend. It's been a great weekend for racing.
If you're not watching it, you're at it. If you're not at it, you're thinking about it. And you're just like us, brother.
You got it right there.
We eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, RPM Race Parts. Tell us about RPM Race Parts. I follow you along on Facebook, and you're an active guy all the time. Tell us about RPM Race Parts. What do you got and what's available?
Well, I started up RPM Race Parts just a few months ago. Figured I was getting parts and stuff from different suppliers and whatnot, and I finally got my my own account and stuff going. So figured I would start selling to the guys. And what I do is I give everyone a discount. Anyone who buys from me automatically get a discount from retail pricing. Items are shipped directly to your door. I deal through Motor State, so you get pretty much any race part you need. And the benefit is you're automatically getting discounts from retail. And it's shipped directly to your door, so can't really go too wrong there.
No, I guess not. You're short-circuiting things here and teching it out, if you will, right?
I'm trying to.
Yeah, and when you search it out, that's race teams want to save money and try and save as much as they can so they can buy the better parts, so they can go faster and do what they have to do on the racetrack. And it goes a long way. With that being said, Chris, you got a full line of parts, pretty well anything you need from like a mini stock or a Bandolero. Are you into any of the Legends stuff?
Yeah, we've got a full line of everything. Basically, it's Motor State, so anything the Motor State sells, which is pretty much across the board, any race part you need, any of the main vendors, All-Star, like you name it, I can get those parts. So whatever, like anything, like from mini stocks to prolates, whatever you need, anything in between.
Now, how do race teams contact you? What's the best method of contact for them if they want to price parts, if they want to see if stuff's available? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me, I would say, is my race page. It's RPM Race Parts. It's on Facebook. You can send me a message there, or you can contact me directly on Messenger through Facebook. I've got my name and number and everything on there. If you want to give me a call, everything's available on my Facebook pages. So if you need to get me, that's the easiest and best way to get me.
And I can tell the listenership right now, that's the way I contact Chris, and I have since day one. And I can honestly say I've messaged Chris, and within that mere moments at times, you're right back in touch with me. And that's saying a lot. There's a lot of people that you message and you may not hear from them for a day or so because they don't check. You're not that way, Chris. You're hooked up.
No, see, that's what I strive on is my customer service. Guys, they want parts. They need them. They want an answer right away. And if I'm going to wait a day or two, I'm going to miss out on the sale. So basically the way that I approach things is if my phone's on, I'm answering my phone. If I'm awake, I'm answering my phone. I have guys that message me at 10, 11, 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. If I'm awake, I'll get a price and I'll get it ordered, or I'll get a price for you, I'll get parts ordered, whatever time they call. If I'm awake, I'm pretty much answering my phone.
That's awesome. And turnaround-wise, I guess some parts are easier to get or more in stock, shall we say, than other parts. What's the turnaround times like if you're ordering something that should be one of those off-the-shelf things?
Well, off-the-shelf stuff, like Motor State has warehouses in both Newmarket, Etobicoke. They've got them all over the states. But if it's an in-stock item, it will be shipped to your door 1 to 2, at very most, probably 3 days.
Yep.
So if you have an issue at the track on the weekend, you order your parts Monday, you'll probably have them by Wednesday, if not Thursday, very latest. In-stock items, 1 to 2 days, sometimes 3.
Do you stock anything yourself there? Or is everything immediate or just in time?
Everything is immediate, just in time shipping. I don't stock any items right now. It's something I'm going to look into for the future. Popular items that things are ordering as the race season goes through. But for right now, everything is just strictly online. You order it, and I get it shipped to your door.
Yeah, now, and you can't beat that, right? It comes directly to you. You don't even have to leave the race shop to go get it, and that's awesome. You've also got another segment of your business that is Race Parts Marketplace, and I've been really intrigued with it. We all know Jason Parker, Dynamite APC racer. Jason has fallen sick. He is battling. Yeah, he's working on it, but he did step back out of racing. And I know you played an instrumental part in raising a lot of money, and a lot of it went to charity. And that was just amazing to see. Good job on all of the behalfs.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Can you walk us through the entire platform? Obviously, the draw has you know come and gone, but can you walk us through the entire program and what all you guys did, Chris?
Yeah, what I do with the marketplace page is I do raffles for the guys. Basically, I do higher end parts, setup parts, equipment, all kinds of stuff, like just the plasma cutter, welders, or you name it, parts for your cars, pretty much anywhere in between. And I do it so the guys, a lot of the lower-end guys that don't really have the budget for $2,000 or $3,000 tools for a set of scales, this way they get into the raffle for $20, $30, $40, and it gives them a chance to win these items that normally a lot of guys can't afford. So I do it to help those guys out. I'll get a little bit on my end for my time, but it's not why I do it. I do it more to help out the guys that need these items that normally can't afford them.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I've seen some of the different items that you have put up there. As big as even a crate engine has been out there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done a few crate engines. I've got a trailer up there right now. I've done a few trailers. Like right now I'm working on getting a trailer filled up. It's almost there, but needs a little bit more of a push. Guys get me to do their cars, like Jason's. His was a little special from the others, but yeah, pretty much anything. Like I've tried to do snowmobiles and motorbikes. I'm going to try to do a quad in the future, or maybe side by side for the guys in the pits. All kinds of stuff. Whatever guys need, I'm pretty much trying different things.
Awesome, awesome stuff. Did you get a chance to speak to Jay over the last little bit? And how's he making out?
Jay's doing good. I was at his house yesterday. I was there for a few hours doing the draw and whatnot. We chatted a little bit, and he's doing pretty good. His spirits are high, and he's not doing too bad.
That's awesome to hear. You got to stay positive. You got to keep battling, and I'll tell you what, he will battle this like he battles on the racetrack, and there was no more fierce competitor than Jason Parker, and hopefully one day we can get that number 8 back on the racetrack. It'd be kind of cool to see him back out there.
That definitely would be nice to see.
Chris, talk a little bit about your background in motorsports, because you've been a part of short track racing in Ontario for a long time. But to talk a little bit about the background that you have in short track racing across Ontario.
Well, like everyone else, I started way back when I was a kid watching as a fan, and it just grew from there. I got into it helping friends and stuff, and then probably 8-10 years ago, I got more involved with it. I became a crew member with a few different crews. I started out crewing with Sean McGlynn. I moved on to driving Pro 4 for Cliff Hodgkinson and his family, Dave and Terry. Then I took a few years off from driving. I went back to crewing with Sean. And then just recently, couple years ago, I bought myself a mini stock. That's all almost raring to go. And I've got a super stock that's almost raring to go. So that's short and sweet way to put it. But yeah, that's about it.
And you love it.
Absolutely. Every minute of it. I wish I could be at the racetrack every day.
Yeah, no kidding. You do a dynamite job, man. I haven't seen you, at least I don't think I've seen you, run your mini stock yet. How long have you had that car?
I've had that car. This is my second year. I've only run it 3 times.
No, just the 3 times. What tracks?
First time I ran it was Frostfest 2 years ago. Then I ran it twice at Sunset. I blew up my motor, and last year all I had was issues for the rest of the year. So I've completely gone through the car top to bottom. It's ready to go. And, it's almost ready to go. But, hopefully if there's some more races this year, I'll get in those. If not, hoping for a full one next year.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Were you guys or are you guys on the docket for Flamborough Speedway?
I am not personally. I didn't want to commit to that one because my car wasn't ready. So I didn't commit. So I'll be there helping, though. If I'm not driving, I'm helping. If I'm not helping, I'm watching. So.
Yeah, you'll be involved somehow. RPM Race Parts, you want to check it out. You got a race team. It's all done online. I don't care whether you're in Yellowknife, Yukon, Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, or out in Newfoundland, out there in St. John's, or out in Tickle Cove, or wherever you are, coast to coast, RPM Race Parts can take care of you. Chris LeBaron is the kind of guy that you're going to want to hook up with. Chris, this has been great catching up with you tonight. You do a dynamite job, my friend, and you keep doing what you're doing. You're helping a lot of race teams out. You're helping a lot of people out.
Well, thank you very much, Joy. I appreciate that.
And we got to thank you for your time tonight on Race Time. You get back out there and get those cars ready. You got a whole herd of them by the sounds of it. You can have your own heat race.
Well, that's everyone wants more cars, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You can never have too many of them.
That's exactly right. Well, you don't say no to another one.
You gotta hope that they sort of lift that bubble a little bit on the Maritimes, and you can load up and run out to Petty or one of those tracks and get some laps on. That'd be fun.
That'd be good. Maybe I'll have to load up and head out there for a couple of weeks or a month or two.
Yeah, no kidding. Chris, this has been great. We'll catch up with you again real soon, buddy.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate the call.
You betcha. Chris LeBaron. You can catch him. You can check him out. Race Parts.
Marketplace.
RPM. Race Parts. And check him out on Facebook, Chris LeBaron.
Yep.
And it's spelt just like it sounds. Chris LeBaron. And you have a look at his Facebook page. You'll see what I mean. There is so much stuff that this guy does. Great engines. I've seen a welder on there. All new gear. And like he says, you know, there's a lot of teams that can't afford to go buy like a plasma cutter or a welder or whatever. Yeah. And this is a way that they can actually get a shot at it and have a decent shot.
You look at the raffle model, and not necessarily ones that he's done, but across the sport.
Yeah.
You look at Lane Zardo and Billy Zardo. They have an APC car.
Yep.
And that was won by or from the Lapsevich clan.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yep,
that was a Trayton Lapsevich car. A really good piece. And, you know, they ended up taking it home for $300.
Yeah.
You know, you look down the list and, Robbie Sykes, he picked up Derek Tamirzma's Outlaw Super Late model.
Yeah, his Wayfreight car.
The Wayfreight number 7. Yeah, and, there's tons of stories like that. A really interesting model, you know, for moving race gear. You know, it's easy to buy a ticket on something, you know, more so than you know, spending $15,000 or $20,000 cash,
right,
to go buy, you know, a race car. And you know, it's definitely helping out a lot of people, for, you know, within the industry, to sell used cars, to you know, move really neat pieces. Just Chris is doing a great job with
and it's coast to coast.
Exactly.
That's the coolest part. Yep. We're going to hit our final break. When we come back, we're going to revisit with some of the winners from Pocono. Today's big triple header at Pocono, NASCAR. Coming up on the other side of the break.
Hey, race fans. This is Trevor Bain, and I'm glad you're listening to Race Time Radio.
NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Race Time Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Yeah, see, that wasn't a long break at all. Welcome back, everyone, to Race Time Radio. It's a busy, busy day. It was a busy, busy day at Pocono Raceway. It was a triple header for NASCAR's top three. And just before I get to that, we also want to congratulate Ty Gibbs on his ARCA win. Tried to get Ty to join us on the show, and Ty was tied up, so he couldn't join us tonight. But we want to congratulate him, nevertheless, on the win, the ARCA Menard Series. It was a busy day. Starting out 9:30 a.m. This morning, the Truck Series hit the racetrack, Junior. Early, you come out the top of the stairs and said, "What are you watching, a replay of something?" I said, "No, it's the truck race live.
Forgot,
it's happening now."
I forgot
now.
That it was that early. Yeah. You know, when you look at the truck weekend at Pocono, you know, it's notorious for tearing stuff up. Man, did they wreck some stuff today.
Big hits.
The big junk, you know.
The four truck.
Yeah.
Oh.
Raphael Lessard, he definitely ate it pretty good. And
didn't even get a lap in.
No.
He just went down and touched the grass and never been a Pocono before.
Yep.
Welcome to Pocono, Raphael Lessard. Oh, yep. My God.
Matt Crafton those guys tore some stuff up as well. And then on top of that, Ty Majeski took a vicious hit into
the inside wall.
Great race today in the trucks. You know, obviously, it had a little bit of everything. It had good side-by-side racing. It had drafting, you know. They look like they're going through a road course down the straightaways there, just trying to break the draft. And the entire race day at Pocono was exciting racing.
Brandon Jones ended up with the win. It was his first truck win.
Yeah, this is big. That was the only thing that I was missing. And now that everything that I've raced in, I think I've got at least one win in. So pretty big, really is. It means so much for me to at least do it with KBM too. I mean, I told him on the front stretch that when I was 13 years old racing short tracks, that the 51 was at the racetrack every week with the super late models. And I knew one day, I'm like, that's what I want to be doing, is racing with Kyle Busch. And now I'm here winning races with him.
too cool for Brandon Jones. One more quick clip with him. The consistency really is starting to pay off for that 51 team.
Yeah, Christian was, he was better in the tunnel than me, I think. But my one and my three were just lights out different. So I was working so hard to get clean air. That's kind of what I felt like I was struggling with. I just needed some clean air on my nose to be good through the tunnel. So that was the kind of thing holding me back. But I thought, I was getting big runs. He was getting out in front of me from that, and then I would really run up to him. So misfortunate that happened to him. You know, it'd been fun to race with a teammate. But at the end, I think it's just a game of cat and mouse. Who's going to lift first down into turn one? And the 38 gave us a heck of a push. We were talking to him there a little bit before that restart, trying to get him to push better. I think he had the rear tires lifted up off the ground coming to the restart zone. So he did his job there, got me out front. And then whoever was there on the inside of me, the 16, I guess, we're kind of just playing who's going to lift first. And we both drove down in the corner pretty deep. The outside just had so much more momentum all day long. The PJ1 was definitely a different way to race this racetrack. There was a lot of differences for me this time coming here with running up to that middle lane. But I always do good when we have PJ1. Same thing that was at Phoenix when we won the Xfinity race, just really utilizing that PJ1 good. So I was happy to see that they added that.
Yeah, and that's – Brandon was talking about Eckes is who he was referring to.
Yep.
And then Eckes ended up having a tire problem. I think it was a tire issue, and then he ended up wrecking up.
Yeah, it was
it would have been the two of them. But the 16 truck, Junior, that 16 truck of Austin Hill was good all day long.
He was, for sure. And when you look at the 16, he was every race, it seems, this year and last year, that truck is good over a long run, but can't fire off. He can't have the fire off speed. And it seemed like today, towards the end of that race, it was that same thing that bit him. So it was definitely interesting. Once he gets into a rhythm, he starts to lay it down. But he didn't have the short run speed that the two KBM trucks up front had. But that being said, you know, how everything shook out, he did end up giving a run for the money. But just came up just a tiny bit short over that 51.
Let's hear from the number 16 of Austin Hill today at Pocono.
Just that everybody at HRE. They're just really good at making these trucks unload really good and really fast. Without this practice, I've said it before, I wasn't worried at all when everybody told me that we were going to this different format. We were just going straight to racing. I actually thought that we had a little bit of an edge on the rest of the field just because every time we unload at a certain racetracks, we're just fast right off the bat. So, our Toyota Susho Tundra was really fast today. We just fought tight really all day long. And, early in that run, stage one and two, we didn't have enough green flag laps to really fill out exactly what the truck was doing. I think if we could have had a little bit longer of a run, I could have maybe made a little bit more or been a little bit more vocal to Scott and everybody on how tight the truck actually was. And we made a small adjustment, and it fired off pretty good. And then, you know, that long run that we had, it just showed that our truck was just too tight. And there at the end, the green, white, checker and everything, we were just too tight. And it was hard for us to really make any moves being that tight. I'd get on the bottom of somebody, and I had to lift or not. I'd hit them. So, we're just showing consistency right now. And these consistent runs is going to turn into wins here soon, I hope. So it's frustrating when you finish second and know that you should be in victory lane by now this part of the season. So we just got to keep digging and got to go back to the drawing board and be just a little bit better to go win these races.
That was Austin Hill, driver of the 16 in the Gander Truck Series. Coming home third, Sheldon Creed. You talked about him, Junior, off the top in the two truck. Man, that thing was good. Just needed to be just a tick better.
Yeah, he needed to the thing just needed to stick on the bottom just a little wee bit better when Jones was on his outside. He put on a show, and I love when a driver goes after it. And I also love when a driver goes after it and it doesn't work out. It creates for good racing. Not when it doesn't work out where they wreck.
Right.
But I like it when a guy, you know, tries something. And whether it be, you know, harpooning it off in there with a slide job or trying to make it stick in a place or with an entry that doesn't work, you know, conventionally. And that's what Sheldon Creed did. Very unconventional, but he put on a whale of a show. Everybody that was watching got their money's worth and their time's worth for sure.
Todd Gilliland ended up coming home fourth. He started eighth. Thor Sports, number 99. How about that? Ben Rhodes comes home fifth. It was Chastain, Ross Chastain come home sixth, Brett Moffitt seventh, Stuart Friesen, he come home with an eighth place finish, and I'll tell you what, that truck was wrecked. How many laps in? Not very many laps in. I didn't think the 52 was going to bounce back, but look at that, eighth spot.
For sure.
Good run for Stewie.
Stuart Friesen had lights out speed last year because they were running under the GMS banner, right?
Yeah.
They ran under the GMS banner. Every time they unloaded a truck, it was basically a GMS truck unloaded out of a Hallmar hauler. This year, obviously, they went out on their own.
His own deal.
And it's completely their own deal with Chip Bruce and those guys with TRD and Toyota. A completely different program, and you can't really score them evenly at all between 2019 and 2020. But they're still surprising a lot of people because when it is your own deal and you're out there running as good and as competitive as they are, it definitely, you know, takes the it shows how much potential that team has got. And, you know, when you start putting together your own equipment, when you start welding together your own chassis and you start, you know, working with your own engineering notes rather than using somebody else's, that's the key to success. Now, it costs a lot of money to do it that way.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a massive capital investment that it takes to find out what works and what doesn't. But that being said, that is the key to success. And really, when you look at the Furniture Row model, very similar to what Hallmar is doing. They're still working with TRD. They're still working with, you know, superior engine programs and they're still, you know, they still have engineering support, but they're building their own notebook. And, I really look forward to the end of this season. Like if they're running as good as they are right now, by the time they reach August, that team is going to be in full swing and they're going to be competitive and running for wins here by the time they reach that mid-August mark.
Akram was in ninth. Derek Krause was in 10th. Grant Enfinger brought it home 11th. He had a little damage to the front right off the top. I can't remember who it was. Thought he was clearing. He wasn't.
Majeski.
It was Majeski. 12th spot went to Tanner Gray. 13th place was the 13 truck of Juddy Sauter. Another Thor Sport Ford, Zane Smith in 14th spot, Parker Kligerman in 15th spot, Berkeley Curry in 16th spot. Bailey Curry. 17th spot was Jordan Anderson. He ended up with a little trouble. Spencer Davis in 18th, Tyler Hill back in 19th, and Robbie Lyons was 20th. So not a bad run. Not a bad run for these guys. It was a good race. Can't wait to see them the next time they strap in. Same guys that we hope to see at CTMP for the Silverado 250 weekend. Historic annual event at CTMP right here in Canada. Keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully that weekend is still going to happen. At least we're all hoping for that. Now, it was NASCAR Xfinity up after the trucks. Of course, excitement was through the roof for all Canadian fans. The DGM, number 90 today, but normally the 36 of Alex Labbe, was part of the Dash for Cash dollars. And, of course, there's only four drivers involved in that. And it was Alex Labbe. He had a decent run. He was up to 11th. Disaster broke out. He ended up smacking the fence, bending the splitter down. Mario did what he could to get it straightened out, and Alex Labbe still came home with around a 17th place finish. I'll pull it up in a second.
Yep, it was.
But let's hear from Chase Briscoe. He ended up winning the race, but you got to know, he had a tire going down on lap 68. So from having a tire going down, into winning the race, there's a lot of stuff that would happen in between, and here's Chase Briscoe to tell us about it.
Yeah, it was it was really surprising. I didn't have any warning of it or anything like that. I was going down this, the short chute after turn one, and all of a sudden it started pulling me to the infield, and I heard stuff hitting the crush panels and everything else, and I got up enough that I was, really worried. I was trying to get out of the way of the leaders. I was worried that I was going to spin out and come right up into them, and I was lucky that it kind of finally blew out on the exit of the tunnel turn instead of right in the middle of it. But, then really fortunate, too, that I was able to woe it up. I think I ended up probably 1 or 2 feet off the inside wall. So that would have definitely ended our day. And then, for the left rear to not get the crush panel completely knocked out was a huge blessing in disguise. So I definitely thought our race was, for the most part, over as far as winning. I knew we were probably going to be able to get back to the top five just because a lot of those good cars were tore up. But overall, it was pretty cool to come from the back and able to get the win.
Yeah, tell me these guys aren't hitting the mark, Junior. Chase Briscoe, that whole group, they're doing a dynamite job. So many good cars in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Love watching them. And I know I look forward to every Xfinity race. Catch them all on TSN here in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to seeing the little stretch of racing that's coming up here for the Xfinity Series. Once they start getting into some of the standalone events, moving down towards the mid-summer portion, the racing seems to pick up for the Xfinity Series.
Yeah,
and
sure it, does.
It does it every single year. There's a ramp up. Hopefully, with the COVID deal, with everything that's working out, obviously, there's some hurdles to jump over, but the Xfinity Series is going to be some amazing racing here once we hit that middle portion of July, that's really when things start to heat up for them. Everybody knows what they've got. The young drivers have got it figured out now.
Right.
I think you're going to start seeing some surprises running up front. At the beginning of this year, we've seen Ryan Sieg pick up his game completely, and he showed glimmers of hope again today. Names like that with Colleague Racing posting the numbers that they are right now, they're doing a great job. I know those guys are burning the candle on both ends, and I think you're going to see some really interesting things from JRM as well. They've got some great speed, they've got some good momentum happening, but they're not executing the way that they want to be.
Yeah, you got to have the whole package.
You got to have everything. So yeah. when you look at all the could be's that could be running, fully competitive and running right up front on a consistent basis, the Xfinity Series has got some of the stiffest competition in motorsports right now, and a lot of it has to do with that body program that they have and the way that those cars are put together. And I think once we get to a point where everything is full bore, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be off the charts. Got to hand it to Kevin Harvick, too. He won the first cup race. I'm just having a look through here. It looks like he's second right now. So,
yeah.
But you know what? That is going to do it for us tonight here on Racetime Radio. I want to thank Scott back in Toronto for doing all you do back there. Scott, Cassandra, Joe, Aaron, all of yous. Got to thank you all for getting us on the air. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us up with all of our guests here tonight. Sure hope you enjoyed the show. Next week on the show, Sunday night, you don't want to miss it. We're going to have more results-based programming. It's all results from here on in. We have got racing here in Canada, just not Ontario yet, from a fan perspective. A big race coming up at Flamborough Speedway. I'm sure we'll talk to the winner next week. But that's going to do it for us tonight here in our studio. For Joe Jr., I am Joe Chisholm Sr. Have a good, safe week, everybody. For God's sakes, put on that mask. Let's get rid of this COVID virus in Ontario, and we can get back to the track. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Have a good one, everybody. Be safe. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com or leave a
message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.